So this past week's Parsha, we learned the Tzivoy of Kedoshim Tiyu, commandment to be Kadosh. Famously, Rashi, the Ramban, give different interpretations of what it means to be Kadosh. Interestingly, when Chazal go through the V'halachta V'drachov, Mahu Chanun, Af Ato Chanun, Mahu Rachum, Af Ato Rachum, so one of the lines in that Maimer Chazal, which is not as frequently quoted, is Mahu Kadosh Af Ata Kadosh. Just like a Kadosh Baruch was Kadosh, we also have to be Kadosh, and we know that. Ki Kadoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should be holy because I'm holy. How does a person become holy? So obviously the most direct method to becoming holy is through Dikduk B'mitzvos. We a lot of times have this mistaken understanding that in order to be holy, we need to go off to like a mountaintop somewhere late at night, go to the mikvah, go to a mountaintop, sing, right? Because it feels really holy when you do that. And putting on tefillin and putting on tzitzis and davening, that's so mundane. So it doesn't feel holy, it doesn't feel special. One of the things I think a lot of us struggle with, certainly in yeshiva, is the psychological element of religious growth. Right? There's certainly many people in the room that have had the conversation, we've discussed how, you know, when you're in high school, or when it's Ben Azmanim, and you sit and you learn for 2 or 3 hours, and everyone else is out playing ball, and you sit and you learn, so you feel like a million bucks, because I sat and I learned for 2 hours. And then when you come to yeshiva and you learn for 9 hours, you don't feel so great because that's the schedule. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what everybody's doing. So we realize that the mitzias and the psychological element get very confused. Because here you are, you're sitting, you're learning for 9 hours, you're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're davening in minyanim where the davenings are slow and focused. But because it doesn't feel special, so you don't feel like you're growing, you don't feel like you're elevated. And that's something that we have to struggle with. We always have to struggle with that. We have to realize that being a good father is not because you took the whole family to Disneyland. Being a good father is because, you know, you read a bedtime story, you pay attention to them when they speak to you during dinner, you're not focused on your phone. That's what makes a good father. Good spouse is because you care for each other on day-to-day things, little things. You know, you leave a little note once in a while, you pick up your socks from the floor and put them in the laundry, as opposed to, you know, running out and buying some fancy gift. That's the real source of the relationship. And the real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly comes from mitzvos, it comes from the day-in, day-out consistency. It's not from these wild experiences. You know, if I would have to describe to you a really holy event. So think about it like this. Maybe the lights are off. It's like dim in the room. There's a candle lit. Candle's flickering. And you maybe take something like wine or... And over the wine, you know, you say like some like incantation. And all the spirits and all the holiness starts to come down. That sounds very spiritual. But you know what? Friday night, you have the candlelight, and you're holding the Kiddush cup, and you're saying Kiddush. That doesn't feel so special. It doesn't feel so holy. It's just Kiddush. But if you think about it, the mitzvos that we do, it has to be something weird. It has to be something in order for it to feel special. But don't get caught up in the psychological element. Focus on the mitzias, the reality. The brachos that we make, we say, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. The way that a person becomes kadosh is by living a life of Torah and mitzvos. That is the ticket to kedusha. You don't need to go to a special course on chasidus in order to become kadosh. Now, if you're doing all the mitzvos just because everyone else is looking, and you're doing all the mitzvos because you have to do them, that's not going to bring the kedusha that you're looking for. But when a person really does mitzvos in an ofen of pnimius, when he's really connected, when it's real, it's deep. So that's the greatest Kedusha. I remember asking a Rebbe of mine, you know, I was getting married later in the day. So you wake up early, you know, you go to the mikvah, day of your wedding, you daven. So now what do you do the rest of the day? So let's push it. You go to the base medrash and you sit and you learn. So I remember saying, you know, what should I learn before my wedding? Like what passage in the Zohar should I learn in order to prepare for my wedding? And the Rebbe said to me, well, what are you learning now in yeshiva? So Bava Kamma, Odafi up to Lamed Gimel. Okay, great. So start Chazar and Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis. And there's nothing holier than that. There's nothing holier than sitting and chazaring the Gemara, doing Shnai Mikra, learning through a Ramban al Torah. That's Kedusha. There's no greater Kedusha than having your family around the table, saying Kiddush, singing Zmiros, enjoying each other's company. That is Kedusha. But I think there's another, and I want to focus beyond that Nakuda, because that's a very important Nakuda. And I really should just stop here, because, you know, you say too many things and people then don't take away anything. You say one thing, so hopefully people remember it. So I want you to remember that. But I think there's something else that's very connected to what we just said. And I think it's another sugya that is very misunderstood by people. Kedusha is a sugya that people misunderstand. They go chasing after all crazy wild things for Kedusha when they don't realize that it's right there. It's so easy, Kedusha. You can go give tzedakah. You can make a bracha with a lot of kavana. I mean, think about it. Baruch atah Hashem. If you just focus on the shame of Hashem when you're making a bracha, and you didn't just quickly run through the bracha, but you actually said each word, Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You don't think that that's doing tremendous things in Shemayim and for your neshama? So I want to talk a little bit about tznius, because I think tznius is very misunderstood. Because obviously for us, we know tznius means that, you know, girls have to wear a skirt to the knee when they're sitting, has to cover the knee, and this and that, and what. But tznius applies to men just like it applies to women. And there's these sort of tznius that really has nothing to do with clothing. I mean, clothing is a very obvious manifestation of tznius, but I want to speak a little bit about the sort of tznius. So first of all, it's pashit that Kedusha comes through tznius. Connection to Ashras Ashchina, famous Gemara in Yuma and Daf Mem Zayin, that there was a woman named Kimchis. She had 7 sons, and every single one of them, somehow it worked out that they were Kohen Gadol, one after the other. And the Chachamim came to her and they said, how are you Zochet to this? The Marsha asked, like, maybe it was through the husband. Why are they asking her? So whatever the Marsha said, it was Pashat that it wasn't the husband who was the reason. So they asked her, how are you Zochet to this? So she said, Miyamai lo ro koros besi kalayach sa'ari. The walls of my house never saw my uncovered hair. She had a certain extra tznius, right? A woman doesn't have to cover her hair. She's alone in a room in her house. But she was extra tsanua. The Gemara even talks about when a man goes to the bathroom. So he's not really supposed to just like reveal himself completely. A person's not supposed to just walk around his room naked. Let's say a person has no one else in the room and the door's locked and he's by himself. Still, you're not supposed to walk around without clothing on. So an element of tznius has nothing to do with what other people see. Because tznius is about pnimius. That's what the Maharal writes. Tznius is about pnimius. And the more that a person covers the outside, again, whether we're talking about physically or even in a non-physical way, a person who's lacking in tznius, just like talks, just, you know, tells you every single thing. There's no secrets. There's nothing private. They just reveal everything. So it's a lack of tznius. Because tznius means keeping things pnimi. Chazal, Torah, the Torah, Chazal, it's mishabech, the midah of tznius. Famous pasuk in Micha, the Gemara in the end of Makos, says that different Nevi'im tried to encapsulate the whole Torah with in 7 mitzvos, 11 mitzvos, try to capture the whole Torah by focusing on certain mitzvos. So it says Micha got it down to 3. Pasuk says in Micha, Higid la'adam ma tovu ma Hashem doresh mimcha. Oh, this is it. This is what everybody wants to know. What does God want from me? I'm here in this world. What's the purpose of life? So Micha says, you want to know what Hashem wants from you? Asos mishpat, v'avas chesed, be fair, be righteous, do good to other people, v'atznei aleches im Hashem Elokecha, im Elokecha. And walk with tznius, walk. Meaning live your life. I mean live your life. Whatever what happens, like Shmir Shabbos, what happened to Lulav, that's Pasha, that's your life. Halacha. Halacha, v'halachta. So v'atznei aleches im Elokecha. When you're doing the mitzvos, do them with tznius. Do them with tznius. The Medrash, interestingly, it says that if a person is roa keri b'yom ha-kippurim, he has a seminal emission on Yom Kippur. So what should he do? Should he wash kedarko? So it says, kach shanu rabosenu, misha roa keri b'yom kippur, rochetz kedarko b'yom ha-kippurim, bilvad sheyelech v'yirchotz b'mokom tzanua, she'en lecha chaviv levnei ha-mokom min ha-tznias. You want to know what Hashem looks up to the most in a person? Not looks up to, what a person appreciates most in a person? What midah? You think it's to know every Rav Chaim in Sefer. You think it's to be the earliest for davening. What a Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates most by a person is tznius. It's a midah chaviva ma'od. So what is tznius? I should cover my hair like kimchis? So those are obviously manifestations of a deeper yesod. Someone who covers their hair and wears, you know, full body, robe, covers every inch of their body, but they're flirtatious and they're hanging out in the street corner, that's obviously not tznius, just because they're covered. So what's tznius? So you have to look at Chazal. Where does tznius come up? So first of all, there's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, Chamukei yerechayich, loma nimshalu divrei Torah ki yerech. Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Chamukei Erechayich. So why is Torah compared to a yerech, a thigh? My yerech b'seiser, after every Torah b'seiser. Just like you're supposed to keep your thigh covered, it's a private part of your body. So too, Divrei Torah is supposed to be done b'seiser. So what does that mean, Divrei Torah is supposed to be done b'seiser? Hayinu d'amar Rabbi Lazar. The pasuk in Micha, ki asos mishpat v'avas chesed v'atznei aleches im Elokecha. Asos mishpat is din. Avas chesed is gemilos chasadim. V'atznei aleches im Hashem Elokecha, what mitzvos? Chazal darshan, hotzas hames, and achnasas kala. Those are funny examples. If you think about those are very public mitzvos. Hotzas hames, a funeral. Everyone sees who's at a funeral. And achnasas kala, dancing in front of the kala. I mean, everyone's like pushing each other, I want to get in the middle, I want to get in the middle. And then you sit there, you do your little dance that you worked out in front of the chasan and kala. Everybody sees you. Wow, look at those moves. So those are very public mitzvos. That's hatznei aleches amalekshem alokecha. So says the Gemara in Sukkah, halo dvarim kavachomer. Ma dvarim shedarkan leasos befar hesya. Omra Torah vatznei aleches. If the Torah is telling me that when I do those things, I should do them with an element of tznius, al achas kama v'kama dvarim shedarka masos b'tzina, a person should be doing b'tznius. And Rashi says an amazing thing. Rashi says, even though we're told it's good to go, better to go to an avel, to a funeral, to a nicham avelim, than to a party, Af sham tzarech hatzneya. Even there, you need to do it b'tznius. Lissod b'mida noya, lismoach b'mida noya. Means you don't sit there at the smorgasbord, you know, shoving the food in like a big pig, and then you know the food's getting all over in your act, and it's just like uncontrollable. Do it b'tznius. Eat a little bit, slow. Lo lahani kalos rosh b'atzmo. You're at a party. You're at a wedding, which is supposed to be fun, supposed to have a good time, but not kalos rosh. Don't go overboard. Then Rashi says, Yesh omrim, that if you're giving money to help pay for a funeral, help pay hachnasas kala, you give it pitzina. You don't have to put your name up that everybody knows. Do it privately. So then, alachas kama v'kama, things that are done pitzina. He says, like tztaka, like to help an ani. Do it privately. Do it quietly. You saw in the Gemara there, the Gemara said that even Talmud Torah, And Rashi says, what does that mean? It means you don't learn out loud. It's like everybody, you know, you're in the Beis Medrash, and there are other people in the Beis Medrash. You start saying like, well, I sat on this Rav Chaim for 7 hours, and you know, I was zoiche to the, oh, Baruch Hashem, I was zoiche to Rav Shimon Shkop's Mahalich. Now I just need Rav Chaim. You know, you make a whole big deal so everybody hears. Everybody hears how big of a Talmud Chacham you are. Oh, but it's Torah, mitoch shel lishma, bal lishma. It's true, we're not saying that you're a rasha for doing it, but that's not the meat of tznius. You know, you go over to the Rav, and you ask a question, and you start to say something, and he right away starts answering. So you want to say like, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I said. Oh, like my pshat. Like there's a shir, you're hearing a shir. Rosh Hashiva's giving a shir, you're sitting there, and he starts to go in a certain direction. And like as the Rosh Hashiva is like getting to the punchline, so you know that there's like a Tshuva Sarashpa. That's right where he's getting. It's like, while you're sitting there, you go like, oh, Tshuva Sarashpa, Tshuva Sarashpa, Tshuva Sarashpa. It's like everybody sees like, oh, you knew the Tshuva Sarashpa. It's okay, you know, everyone doesn't need to know you saw the Tshuva Sarashpa. Again, I'm not coming from Mitzad Gaiva. That's a different cheshbon. There's an Indian of Tznius. There's an Indian of Tznius. Rashi says you shouldn't learn in public. Now, again, does that mean that you shouldn't take a little Mishnayos with you when you're waiting online somewhere? You shouldn't learn? I don't think that's what it means. It means you shouldn't be setting up your Beis Medrash outside and learning Bikol, Rashi says. Now, they say about Rav Beinu Shvinkel, who was one of the Rosh Hashivas of the Mir, it's Rav Aaron Lopiansky's father-in-law, just to give you a point of reference. So Rav Beinu Shvinkel, they say that the Bochrim never saw him learning. He was the Rosh Hashiva. They never saw him learning. They actually said if you came into his house, he would always like have a newspaper in front of him. And it was clear that there was like a sefer underneath. But he never let anyone see him learning. Oh, it's a madrego. We shouldn't be doing that. It's good. It's mechazik each other. You know, if you're waiting, if you're at the plane, the guy next to you is learning Mishnayos, and you feel bad that you're like just sitting there like watching the ESPN highlights. The guy next to you is learning Mishnayos. You learn Mishnayos. It's good. It's good to do things in public. It inspires other people. But you have to realize that there is a madrego. Kavod HaTorah. Listen to the Lashon of Rashi. Kavod HaTorah b'tzina. Kavod HaTorah is that it's done b'tzina. And you know why? Because special things are private. Because that's what makes them real. You know, you go to an airport, and, you know, there's a man and a woman saying goodbye to each other. And they're, like, kissing each other there in the airport, right in front of everybody. Or, you know, you see people walking, and they're holding hands, and they're, like, Googling in each other's eyes. And so, if the relationship is really real, so private things stay private. Now, there's a reason why a lot of religious couples don't show their affection in public. Because if you want the relationship to be real, so you keep it private. Because private things are more real. They're deeper. There's more pnimius when they're done privately. And that's why it's for sure that a person doesn't speak with other people, certainly about inyani ishus, with, you know, certainly a husband doesn't speak to his friends about what goes on in private with his wife. And in many cultures, people do. But it means that it's cheap. It means that it's not real. And that's what tznius is about. Tznius is about covering up, not because people are evil, parts of the body are evil. It's because if you want things to be real and powerful, so the more that they're kept quiet and expressed only at the right time, the more meaningful and powerful that they are. And it's true about Limud HaTorah. The Rambam even writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and I quote, "The kol hayageya b'talmudo b'tzina machkim." There you go. You got it from the Rambam. You want to be machkim? Kol hayageya b'talmudo b'tzina. As it says in Mishlei, ves hatznuim chachma. People who are tsanua, they're the ones who gain chachma. So it's supposed to be pure. It's supposed to be real. Things that are supposed to be private. Rav Schechter always said that tznius means to be a private person, to live a private life. Does it mean you can't have a friend that you talk to about personal things? Of course. You should have friends that you talk to about personal things. But the whole idea in modern culture, in Western culture, of, you know, taking a picture of every single thing that you're doing and posting it online so that everybody sees what you're doing at every single second, so that my life is public, right? I don't remember the term. There's a term for social... There's a term for people who everybody follows every single thing that they're doing in their life. They went to the store, they went here, they bought this, they're in there now, they're taking a nap, their dog, you know, they put a bow tie on their dog. Anything that they did, they have to take a picture of right away. Selfie, 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 quickly put it up, put it up, put it up. That is the antithesis of tznius. Tznius means that I try to live a private life. And even if I'm a public person, and even if I have an important role to play in the public sphere, but I maintain a private sphere as well. The greatest yesod, and this I'm going to end with this yesod, the greatest yesod is that when things are done b'tznius, not only does it keep it real and powerful, but it actually gives it its greatest kiyum. And it allows it to be as powerful as it could be. Rashi in Shmos says, Pasuk says, V'ish lo yala imoch. When Moshe goes up to get the luchos, he's told he goes up privately. Rashi comments that the first luchos were done very publicly, with pomp and circumstance, loud noises, fireworks. That was Matan Torah, the original luchos. And what happened to the original luchos? They didn't last. When it was then time for the second luchos, Moshe was called up privately. There was no big ceremony, there were no lights, there was no show. And it's Dafka, the second luchos, that had kiyum. I believe I heard B'Shem Rav Soloveitchik that that's part of the reason, according to some, why we break something under the chuppah. Traditionally, we say it's in order to remember the chorba. But the Rishonim that say it's there to remember the broken luchos. So Rav Soloveitchik explains, what does that mean? Why are we telling the Chasam and Kala? Why are we trying to remember? The Chorban Ayrila, I understand. You know, no simcha is complete if there's Chorban Abayas. But why would we remember the broken luchos? Like, are we going to also remember the Egel Azov? Like, should we bring a cow in the middle of the chuppah? Why do we break it in order to remember the broken luchos? But the message is very powerful. The message is, you're at a beautiful wedding right now. Dresses, flowers, a band. This is not what makes a relationship. What makes a relationship is going to be this quiet stuff, the private stuff, the day-to-day. That's what's going to make the relationship. That's what's going to give your relationship kiyum. If your relationship is all about the public, it's all about how good you guys look together, it's all about how amazing the band was and the food was at your wedding, so that's not real. That's not what's going to give the kiyum to your relationship.